Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Revelation chapters 17 and 18. Revelation chapters 17 and 18. This is God's word. "One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, 'Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries.' Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, 'Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come. This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven hills on which the woman sits, they are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. But when he does come, he must remain for a little while. The beast who once was and now is not is an eighth king. He belongs to the seven and is going to his destruction. The ten horns you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Then the angel said to me, The waters you saw, where the prostitute sits, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the ten horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to accomplish his purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen! Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit, a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." Then I heard another voice from heaven say, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her plagues. For her sins are piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes. Give back to her as she has given. Pay her back double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart she boasts, 'I sit as queen. I am not a widow, and I will never mourn.' Therefore, in one day, her plagues will overtake her: death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared her luxury see the smoke of her burning, they will weep and mourn over her. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and cry, 'Woe! Woe, O great city! O Babylon, city of power! In one hour your doom has come.' The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. They will say, 'The fruit you longed for is gone from you. All your riches and splendor have vanished, never to be recovered.' The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and mourn and cry out, 'Woe! Woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. In one hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, 'Was there ever a city like this great city?' They will throw dust on their heads and with weeping and mourning cry out, 'Woe! Woe, O great city, where all who had ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In one hour she has been brought to ruin. Rejoice over her, O heaven! Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets! God has judged her for the way she treated you.' Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said, 'With such violence the great city of Babylon will be thrown down, never to be found again. The music of harpists and musicians, flute players and trumpeters will never be heard in you again. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of a millstone will never be heard in you again. The light of a lamp will never shine in you again. The voice of bridegroom and bride will never be heard in you again. Your merchants were the world's great men. By your magic spell, all the nations were led astray. In her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all who have been killed on the earth. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
In this passage, we see the reality of a world system that is exploitive, that is bent on excessive luxury. An adulterous relationship between political powers and business powers that is bent simply on self-enrichment and willing to exploit the bodies and souls of men. That world system is going to one day be a one-world government, a one-world economy, a union of other governments joined as one all over the world. And this picture is of that ultimate fulfillment of what we already see in part in our world today, and certainly also in the time of John when he wrote this. There has always been a diabolical capacity on the part of powerful people to do what they have to in order to enrich themselves at the expense of others. Now, I'm not talking about capitalism. I'm talking about the human heart, which is deceitfully wicked. If you look at history, you see that regardless of whether Republicans or Democrats occupying the White House, there are some people who always manage to prosper. The man who's just been elected president talked very openly about the fact that he contributed to the politicians in both parties because he wanted to have them owing him when they were elected. Whoever won, he wanted to be able to say, you remember that gift I gave? He said, that's the way the system works. It's not the way things should work, but it's the way things work. And so business people and politicians buy and sell one another. This is not a new thing. It's not an American thing. It's not a modern thing. It is the way it has always been. Our government has done what it has done throughout history in terms of helping people around the world. It's not just to help those people. The U.S. has wanted to prop up regimes in various parts of the world because those governments were friendlier to us. Well, why do we care if they're friendly to us? Well, because we have business interests there. There are American businesses that make a lot of money in those places. They get raw materials from there, etc. And so it's been necessary in the minds of Democrats and Republicans to make sure that our interests are taken care of overseas. And you sell that to the American people any way that you have to. Now, are you saying America is the great prostitute? America is Babylon? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the dynamic that is described here that will one day successfully complete globalization, that dynamic is not new. And the United States is not immune. And sadly, the people of God are constantly tempted to be a part of Babylon. Because we would like to be clothed in scarlet and purple and glittering with gold and jewels and pearls. That is our picture of success. Not just out there in the world, but tragically to a tremendous extent within the church. Bigger is better. More money is good. And so we want to be prosperous people. Well, let me tell you something. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the first point in these two chapters that I believe God would have us see with clarity is the reality of this world system, this one world system that is there through various administrations, various centuries. It is the way the world works. And it is a union between kings and merchants. Look at chapter 18, verse 3. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. Look at verses 11 through 13. The merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood and articles of every kind made of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron and marble. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice, of incense, myrrh and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, of fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and carriages, and bodies and souls of men. People treated as commodities, to be exploited in order to enrich ourselves. We don't want to know who made that or how much they were paid per hour. I'm just glad I can buy it cheap. Let me just tell you, this problem is not going to be solved by a great businessman in D.C. because the problem is the human heart. So the simple little solutions that different people want to propose, they don't fix it. And we need to realize that the ultimate solution is only found in Jesus Christ. That sounds like a complete dodge. No, it's the truth. Because the problem is not with those people's bad hearts and those people's bad hearts. It's with our bad hearts. So there is a world system that will one day be solidified. And that woman looks like the epitome of success. But inside, that golden cup is filth. Filth. You know what else is in there? Immorality. You know what else is in there? The blood of the saints. She's drunk on the blood of the saints. That, folks, is a picture not only of what has been going on in history, but please understand this, it's a picture of what is coming in the future. Verse 6 of chapter 17. The woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. There will be a future fulfillment of all these things, but the dynamic is already at work right now. The dynamic was at work in the first century, and it is still going on. This is the way the world operates. So God's people are told, come out of her. Well, excuse me. If it's a one world system, okay, how am I supposed to come out of her? I mean, it says come out of her. But how do I do that? I'll tell you two ways. Number one is loyalty. What are you faithful to? What are you committed to? If you are committed to this world system and thinking that you can be a part of it and exploit it in order to make yourself look like the woman on the beast, you're not coming out of her. If your focus in life is that's what I want to be, that's what I want to achieve, that's what I've got to have, I know it would be good if I did this, but I just don't think I could do that because that would mean giving up this. If you're buying into the world system, you need to repent and come out of her. You need to stop being an adulterer with the world. You can't love the world that way and still love God. The Bible says if you love the world like that, you're an enemy of God. The other way in which I really want to come out of her is the rapture. I want God to call us home. And I am so grateful that one day, those who are not in love with this world, but who are in love with Him and looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see Him face to face and we're going to be like Him. That is the promise of God. Hallelujah. Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus, or are you still hoping to hang on to stuff a little bit more? Let me tell you something. As you look at this, you see the suddenness of destruction. I will never forget when the World Trade Center came down. One of the first things I did was go and get my Bible and read chapter 18 of Revelation. Because it sure sounded an awful lot like what happened in New York that day. The World Trade Center. The place that epitomized the world system of buying and selling, and all of a sudden, the boats are out on the water and they're looking at the collapse of those towers. Let me tell you something. That's what's going to happen to the whole world system. But don't you believe that this is going to be the revived Roman Empire and maybe the European Union will be the beast with 10 horns? How does that apply to us? You see, if that's my interpretation, then I distance myself from it and I say, this really doesn't impact me. Let me tell you, if that's your interpretation, I'm not saying that can't be what happens at the end of history. What I'm saying is you're avoiding dealing with the way this is applied to all believers in every age. And that is, there is a world system that is all about mammon worship and self-enrichment and exploiting whoever you have to exploit and not asking questions and glad if the government's in business with these folks because we just want to be sure we've got plenty. And if the bodies and souls of men have to suffer as a result, I don't want to know about it. You see, we need to realize there is a one world system that hates God. And if people are too identified with Him, they're going to make war against us. Now, are you saying there's not going to be a literal fulfillment? No, I'm saying there is going to be a literal fulfillment. But right now, let's practice being on the right side. So, chapter 17, verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with Him will be His called, chosen, and faithful followers. Jesus is telling His people, don't be a part of this world system. Don't be in love with what this world says is important. You be in love with Me, and you love one another. And when the world makes war against My people, I will give My people victory. That is the promise of the one who gave His life to redeem us. He does not say that we will not be martyred. He describes a cup that is filled with the blood of the saints. But the way that the saints overcame him was by not loving their lives even unto death, but instead being willing to lay it all down and say, you know what? You can take away my material possessions. You can even take away my physical life, but you cannot take away my relationship with Jesus. That's victory. That's glory. And that is God's promise.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.